You know the words that we sing whenever we're singing Dare to Be Daniel. Well, that is the title this morning, Standing by a Purpose True. We've read this morning there in Genesis chapter 49 about God. We also read a little bit about him in Genesis chapter 30, and we read about the Gadites as we read there in Joshua and chapter 22. Now, I said to you whenever we were beginning to look at these various sons of Jacob that we would look at basically the names. Certainly sometimes we'd be looking at their posterity, and we will certainly be applying every time, trying to apply what we find to our own particular circumstances. And the name God carries the meaning of troop. It carries the meaning of troop. Now over in Genesis, I'll just read, you needn't turn to this one. It's Genesis 30. And in verse 11, it says, in verse 10, it says, "And Zilpah Leah's maid bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, A troop cometh, and she called his name God." There's no doubt when we compare what we see in Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and chapter 30 as well, that the meaning of the name God is absolutely clear. God is one who will ever be remembered as associated with soldiering or with an army or a band of men that form a company or a troop. And God, therefore, is often seen in the Bible as one who is or was a warrior or someone involved in conflict. When Israel entered Canaan, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh did not rest in their own inheritance, but they fought alongside their brethren and until the victory was ultimately achieved. And they were then dismissed to their inheritance by Joshua. And we've read about that in Joshua chapter 22 just now this morning. And folks, as we read that statement from Presbytery, we are reminded again, if we needed reminding, of the awful state that Northern Ireland is now in. We love to hear about the days of revival, and some of us here can remember hearing of nights in our own denomination, even when every Sunday almost, in my own home church in Dungannon, for a long time at the start, nearly every Sunday, somebody was saved. And the numbers that were coming along to Sunday school and to the church services were very, very large indeed on many occasions. But everything has changed. There's one of our ministers told us fairly recently that every single year now, and this is about, it says, been going on for a number of years. Every year now, all of our churches in Belfast, in the Belfast area, the numbers have been almost inevitably going down. Down, down. And it's not to say that there's never any missions or never any invitations given out to people, but folks, it is a sign of the times. Years ago, Belfast used to have the preaching of the gospel on every corner, and there were plenty of people who were willing to come along and listen to the proclamation of God's word, but it is all changed now. But that does not mean that God's cause does not go on. And I have given the title to the message this morning, Standing by a Purpose True. There's no better thing that you can do. Yes, you're just a small, in a little, seemingly insignificant village, a small congregation. But that is where God's work goes on. And so often, speaking to a lady a while ago, just she came here to visit, and I was speaking to her outside, and she was from a bigger congregation, and she said, to me, that in the smaller congregation, says you have to prove God in everything you go to do. You have to prove him. There's nothing sitting there. She said it's very different from us, but she said for you there is a great blessing in that. And sometimes it seems like a struggle, proving God in everything that you go to do. But the work of God goes on, and the witness is here to stand by a purpose true. Better days will come. Sooner or later, we will be able to have Sunday school, and God willing, our ladies' meeting and men's meeting again, and we'll be able to enjoy the things that we formerly enjoyed. We do hope that day comes sooner rather than later, but we don't know. But in the meantime, brethren and sisters, please do take heart, because God's cause goes on. Whatever the circumstances around us, his work continues. And as we consider standing by a purpose true this morning, I hope that you'll be encouraged. You'll be encouraged here in Ackley. You'll be encouraged in your home. You love the meetings, that you love the Word of God, and that you love the outreach of God's Word, whether it is our little Facebook effort, or whether it's the preaching of the Word week by week, or the missionary work of our church, that you will love it all. And the Lord, through all of this pandemic, will not have you defeated and just wishing the days away. It's so easy to live like that. Just wishing one day away. I talked to a man one time, and he was so down, he said he just couldn't wait for evening to come so he could just go to bed and get away from life. And then he had those hours in bed until the next morning. That's not a way to live. It's not a very healthy way to live, mentally. But certainly it's not a way that the Lord would want those of us who know him to live. And I want you to notice here, first of all, the help available. Now, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 30, where we were there just a few minutes ago. It's just the words that Leah said. She said there, in verse 11, a troop cometh. These words remind us, number one, that there is help available. A troop cometh. It's referring to that group of men that make up the army. Now, if we put it here in the context, Leah, Bible commentators believe, was referring to to other children being born. She was contemplating that there would be others. A troop, an army, a number of children there. And surely these words remind us, as the Lord's people, concerning his work. They remind us of several things. They remind us, first of all, that God is adding to his church. We're not seeing the numbers saved that we want to see saved. There's been many children saved this past X number of years. And God willing, they will be saved, or they will go on with the Lord, and early in their life, they will seek to follow him. And who knows what the Lord can do with them in the days ahead. But do take encouragement that the Lord is still saving precious souls and adding to his church. And as I think of the help available, I think first of all of one accord and the importance of it. Maybe we turn to the book of Acts and chapter 4. This is a chapter here where his disciples have been going through a very rough time, and they have found favour with some people. There's no question about that. But as they have faithfully proclaimed God's word, they have come up against very stiff opposition. And it says there concerning Peter and John, you will note that these men were very brave when they were being released, and they said they cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's where we need to be now. Right into the future in Northern Ireland, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Too many folks are veering off to the right and to the left. We need to be steadfast in the work of God and in the word of God. And it says there in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now, immediately they went to their own company. And if you just go back to me, with me there, please, to chapter 2 and verse 42, you will see that there were many there who came to the Lord. And this is a key verse, verse 42 of chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly. And the word there means earnestly. It carries the meaning of constancy and of someone who is being diligent. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is the word of God that they had. And that is what we must do. And we know that And I want to say to any who have children that you're reaching, of course, there's the Free Presbyterian children's effort going on Facebook all of the time. I'm sure you're very aware of that by now. We had it up before. But there's the teaching of the word, which is so important. But it's so vital for children to be in church too. And here we have them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That's why we love you to come back on a Sunday night if you can. And in the breaking of bread and of in prayers. And you will see here that there was tremendous unity among the people there. In verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord. Here they were. Some of them had just recently been saved. They're all together. There are people around them who would seek to harm them, but they are determined that they will continue, as verse 42 shows. There's a pattern there for fellowship. Continuing in the word, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking bread, and in prayers. There's that one accord. And brethren and sisters, it is so important in the work of God and in any congregation that we are of one accord. Of course, we don't want clones. Don't expect your personality to be the same as mine or anyone else's. But these men were all very, very different. But they were all of one accord in the work of the Lord. And they saw the importance of that. And I said here, as help is available, the first thing is the troops. That is the troops. People from here with that kind of different personalities and people from there. But there's not just one accord. There's one ambition. If you look over there in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15 and verse 22, you will see there's a great encouragement in verse 16. It says, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. There's a good verse to bring before the Lord. When you look at Northern Ireland and how it used to be, and indeed all of the United Kingdom and all the big preaching houses that used to be filled out every time they opened. Over in Bridlington, that where I used to minister, I was absolutely shocked at how many preaching houses there had been, and the heritage that there was, and how a man who preaching children every summer on the beach, just a little object lesson, how there used to be 1,500 people gathered to listen to him. Now you would get 15, you'd be stoned off it. And the huge, huge big Baptist church where there used to be the preaching of the word, and the church when I was there, it was just the little you could call it a little annex at the back. That was what was now the church. The rest all knocked down. Why? There's no need for it. There's no ear for the word. There's no ambition for the preaching of the word. And in the different archives around Bridlington, you can see a tremendous gospel heritage. It's all apostatized now and dead. And that can happen in Northern Ireland. And we would be fools if we didn't think it. But there's ruin. There's no doubt. And I have to confess, and I'm a Free Presbyterian by conviction. Of course, there are lots of other Christians and other denominations, but I'm Free Presbyterian by conviction. And I know what's happening. And I know that things have changed. And I know that we could very easily find ourselves slipping away and falling away. It says here, I will build again the ruins thereof. Now look at verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And look what it says in verse 26. Here's the one ambition that we see among all of these men, those who are being sent along with Paul and the others. It says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think of that. Men who have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These men meant business. And we're living in an age when even for the most well-meaning Christian, there's a great pull towards materialism and having this and having that. But here is what it's all about. It is about uplifting him, about promoting his name. And you notice that in the little short statement we read out from Presbytery. It is getting, men are not turning to the Lord. And they're not interested in him. And if you mention how God can make a difference, they'll laugh at you and sneer at you. And men and women, here is the answer. One ambition. And when you think of God's people today, there is help available. Remember Elijah. He thought he was on his own. He got so far down. And then he was told that there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. We're not on our own. You're not on your own, Christian. There are other believers out there. And there's help available for you as you seek to go on with the Lord. And in that help available, there are, first of all, the troops, one accord and one ambition. And then there is the trust. Leah said, a troop cometh. These words carry the thought or the meaning of great confidence in her heart as to what will happen in the future. But we live in a day, folks, of small things. Times when it's difficult in God's work. We love to get together in big meetings like the Easter Convention because it does our heart good. But the general work of God is not like that. Generally hard going to make inroads into a community where our churches are at the present time. And very difficult. But you and I can have confidence. Confidence in knowing that God's word is still being used. It is still what he uses in the draw men and women to himself. Looking over there in 1 Kings and 18. Just want to read what it says. First Kings 18. You have a very important part of God's word when you look at Elijah here, and he's with the prophets of Baal, and they have tried to pray to their gods, and he has mocked them. He was a very brave man to do that. But you'll notice, and this is very, very important, in verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That was key. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, he was going to be trusting the Lord to work for him in a most remarkable way. And that's what you and I want to do. And we need to do. But it says here, repaired the altar that was broken down. The thought here is restoration. What about the altar of prayer? Sometimes it's easy to content ourselves with just a few words as we go along in the car. Remember a lady telling me one day, and she wasn't a Free Presbyterian, she said, it's a Christian lady, but she said, I'm so busy, she says, most of my praying's done just on the way to work in the car. I'm not suggesting she doesn't do that, but men and women need to be wrestling in prayer. We need to have the altar of prayer. What about the altar of living a holy life? Well, in this age when anything goes, and people don't blush so much anymore, and there is not so much that can be in our hearts that can be a hindrance even to progress with the Lord. Well, Elijah here, he didn't use their altar. You'll notice he didn't say that. Take your offering away. I'm going to. He repaired the altar of the Lord. You might say he didn't use an ecumenical altar, but it was the Lord's altar. And folks, as you and I look to the Lord and trust him and seek that he will work on our part, I do trust that we will examine our own hearts constantly, and there will not be that in there which would be a hindrance to us. You know the story there at the end of 1 Kings 18 where Elijah has been challenging. He's been challenging Ahab, and Ahab, I believe at this time, is very scared as he hears and sees all that is going on. And he runs away home to his wife, of course. But it says at the beginning of verse 46 that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Now, look with me, please, there again, if you would. If you just go back and look at verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be my name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. If you read on down there, and we won't take time to do that, you will see that there's water everywhere. in the eyes of his enemies, it looks as difficult as possibly can be for God to help him. And God did. We just read that the hand of the Lord was upon him. That was after the Lord had answered by fire. And the Lord can still, in a sense, answer by fire for his people. He can come along and bless the preaching of his word, and people can listen to simple gospel messages and hear it as though they'd never ever heard it before, when God deals with them. And that is the trust, brethren and sisters, that we need to have in him. Standing by a purpose tree is the greatest cause on earth. Thought number one is the help available, the troops and the trust. But then there is, secondly, the hostility assured. We read earlier on concerning Gad that a troop would come against him, but that Gad would overcome at the last. And I did mention that the name Gad implies a troop or an army, but there's some things that come to mind there. I was thinking of Ephesians chapter 6 and all of those difficulties that a Christian can face. It's amazing when you read through that chapter and the armour of God just how vulnerable we are and how we need to stay close to the Lord. Now we're thinking here of the hostility assured, that is, that God would be involved in conflict, if you read Genesis 49. But and God certainly in history faced conflict on different occasions. And maybe there's someone here at the moment and you're facing it right now. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it reads there about the fiery darts of the wicked. And you've known something of that. Darts of discouragement. Darts that have sent you back or knocked you down a bit. Maybe your faith has been attacked. Maybe you've been suffering the accusations of the devil who's come along and whispered in your ear, how could the Lord use you? Look at the things you've done or the things you've said. And he's coming along constantly, and it's a constant engagement. That was the first thought here when we're thinking of hostility assured. There is engagement. And Christian, we must face up to today. If you and I are to go on with the Lord, there will be engagement. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then it shows us very clearly that we do wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is not going to be a pushover. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have the experience there of Jehoshaphat. He is sometimes referred to as the good man who made bad friends. And we know that there was that occasion when his back was to the wall. He looked for help where he shouldn't have been looking, instead of looking to the Lord. But if you look in this chapter, chapter 20 in 2 Chronicles, it says in verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." These were good days. They knew the situation was dire. And he was afraid, but he called Judah. Judah gathered together, they rallied, and now they're coming together, not to let everyone see how brave they are, how good they are, but to seek help of the Lord. That was it, to turn and look to him, and to ask help from the Lord. And if you look on down through there, there's some amazing detail concerning the God's dealing with Jehoshaphat at this time. And if you look right down there to verse 16 of chapter 20, it says, "Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." The charge was to go to the enemy and to let God do his work. And the Lord worked in a most remarkable way. It says there in verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord." These were good days, folks. Days of conflict, but good days. Days of when hostility was assured, and there was that engagement. And what I want to say to you, young Christian, don't run away from the Lord's battles. Very, very hard, and I have every sympathy for you as you try to make your Western life and as upright as you can. You try to honour the Lord, and at every turn, there's all of the things that are opposed to God's word and to holy living and to honouring the Lord, and everything that's opposed to you going on as a Christian. There's engagement. It would be a different world if no hostility was assured. But hostility is assured. And here in Northern Ireland, again, we're not trying to be too negative, but the way legislation and stuff has been going regarding abortion and all of these other terrible things, it's only going to get worse. We needn't kid ourselves. Unless the Lord intervenes, it's going to get worse year on year as things go on. There is that hostility assured, there's engagement, but then there is enablement. The descendants of Gad were very courageous, I have to say that. And if I look over there in Deuteronomy chapter 33, just reading it for you quickly, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 20, "And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and turreth the arm with the crown of the head." They were known as people who were courageous. But there are other things that we need to read here over in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 8. It says, "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might, and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains." They were people, men who were a formidable foe. But you know, their enablement was from the Lord. The battles were not going to be won through their ability alone, but rather they certainly had their responsibilities to fulfill, but their strength came and abundance was derived from the Lord. And again, folks, especially young people, you need courage today. Courage to stand by a purpose tree. You could use it and put it another way and say, nailing your colours to the mast. Being those who will be identified with the Lord. Remember long ago when David was facing trouble, there were those that come to him and said, "Thine are we, David, thy son of Jesse, and on thy side." Well, David was a type of Christ. And today, there is the call for all of us to say to our greater David, "Thine are we, David, thy son of Jesse, and on thy side." That's part of that call that we got from Presbytery, to call to examine our own hearts and to give ourselves to praying for the great need as never before. There was here the hostility assured. There was the engagement. That's something we will face if we're going on with the Lord. There was the enablement that come from the Lord. But there was the eventual triumph. Because in Genesis 49 and 19, we read about God there. "He shall overcome at the last." You see, a Christian is in victory. And therefore, he goes from victory to victory if he goes on with the Lord. Do you remember there when we were reading in the book in the New Testament, and all these things, in the midst of all these troubles, we're more than conquerors. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, am I really living in victory? Have I been standing by a purpose true? Have I been on the Lord's side? Have I been one of those who help in the Lord's work? We looked at the troops and the trust. There's room for you there. To do what you can. The Lord does not ask any of us to be great, but he asks all of us to be faithful in what we seek to do and to be available to do what we can for him. Then the hostility. We don't like the thought of it, but there's no getting away from it. The alternative is just back away into the corner and let everything go and never raise your voice against anything. And never oppose anything and let people get on with it and just quietly say, "Well, the Lord knows." Of course the Lord knows, but the Lord has called us to stand by a purpose true. And that's what we need to do. And folks, I'm not on my own in fearing that in the years ahead. I've said this to my own sons, there's difficult days. Very difficult times if things do not change. Things that I look back 20 years, there's things now that I never dreamt would have come around to have. Give it another 10 years, where are we going to be? It's just all going that way. And folks, the Lord, I was going to say, needs us. The Lord can work without any of us, but the Lord is watching his people. And he's calling his church to stand by a purpose true. There was a help available, the hostility assured, and it's still assured for you. Maybe you're going through a battle at the minute. If I can pray for you and there's anything you want me to pray about, just let me know. And I won't tell anyone if it's confidential, that's for sure. But then there's a final thought here. It is the honour asserted. You know those words in verse 11 in Genesis 30, a troop cometh. Yes, it reminds us of God and the army, but it reminds us of another day. It points to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ when he will return to his church. Hopefully within the next few weeks we'll be able to have a communion service before Christmas. Haven't had one for a long time. And there we remember the Lord's death, but we do it till he come. And we labour knowing that he will come, and knowing that when he does come, he will come as conqueror. And knowing that you will have a reward. And folks, I asked my own heart today, and we can all ask our hearts. Whenever it comes to standing by a purpose true, when the Lord comes, if he were to come soon, would we get reward from him? I remember back when I was a student again in one of our churches, I think it was our Dara congregation, we were taking a meeting there, me and a couple of other students, and there's youth fellowship, and they had a little prayer time at the start, and one of the young women, I can remember who it was, although I wouldn't tell anyone her name, but she's a married woman now with a family of her own, and she, I remember her praying in the prayer meeting, "Lord, we would hate on that great day to stand before you with empty hands and to just be able to say, I wish I had given him more." Folks, this was a good thought. I wish I had given him more. I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts on God to your heart, God, the troop, and that he will help all of us in these days to stand in the gap for him.